Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in the Dog Bowl in Berea. One day away from the final preseason game for the Cleveland Browns. They travel to Chicago to take on the Bears, and then we can get down to real business. All eyes focused on September the 8th, the Miami Dolphins. Nathan Zagura alongside the notorious VIC Vic Carucci and Bernie Kosar in studio with us right now. And Bernie, now that we know Brandon Whedon's not going to play in the fourth game of the preseason, the final action he will have seen was week three against the Indianapolis Colts. And while he comes out week one, 10 of 13 for 112 and a touchdown, then 8 of 12 for 117, not one but two touchdowns. Third game, not as good. 12 of 25, 105 yards, only 4.2 yards per attempt. What is it that you saw from Brandon Whedon in this game? Is this anything to be concerned about, or is it just more of a case of, you know, maybe he's playing a little bit more conservatively in the third preseason game than perhaps we would have liked?
Well, I thought, again, the first two preseason games, I'm not sure it could have went any better. And
right.
In terms of, you know, being positive, making plays, showing progress, even from game one to game two in terms of being efficient and accurate in game one, and then being a little more efficient, accurate, and aggressive in game two down the field. We saw a lot of more zone from Indianapolis in the third game. And one of the things that, you know, a lot of us talk about, that people talk about around the league is, okay, the third preseason game is the most regular season game-like tempo. You do a little preparation. The starters play the longest. But I also think there's a lot that goes into the other team and our team being worried about, or not worried, thinking about September 8th, knowing that the Miami Dolphins are going to be watching that third preseason game, and that's the game that they will analyze the most and put down for their statistical data as to what the Browns are doing, what they're trying to get accomplished. And then, so sometimes I think you kind of do things, at least I used to do it like this, in terms of putting stuff out there for the first team to look at, or put stuff out there that you want them to prepare against that you may not do, or keep some stuff back that you may not want them to see and use it in the next game.
I want to interrupt you because North Turner's knocking on the glass, your former offensive coordinator in Dallas, just with his arms raised, just kind of. Did he give you that look a lot in Dallas, that hands up, like, what the hell are you doing look? Or
he does that just through my whole life and relationship with him.
I've only known him for a very brief period of time, Norv, and he pretty much gives that to me every time he sees me and tells me I look too happy.
Yeah, Norv was with the way. It's funny because I, until 93 when we worked together, I had never, you know, worked much with him or known him very much. And to have so many similar beliefs and kind of idiosyncrasies in terms of how you like to go after the game and how you like to attack it, I mean, this is something you won't see a lot of in the preseason. But we've talked about this just a little bit. North Turner, when you cross the 50-yard line, will always have every week a couple plays that you know how to score from crossing the 50, that 45-yard touchdown pass, 40-yard. His way of thinking is to go after big plays. He studies. One of the first tapes he breaks down at the end of a season is every team in the league, every big play over 30 to 35 yards. How did the other team, how did the other offenses create big plays to allow them to get a 30, a 35-yard play? He analyzes that and looks to see the different personnel groups, the different formations, the different motions, the different protections that allow you to get big plays. And those are the first things he looks at. So, obviously, someone like me who's a tad bit opinionated on how I like to go about offense and attacking defenses, that's like music to my ears.
Sure.
And to see somebody who is from a different style, from a different system that isn't part of kind of your core group of ideology, and to have such similar beliefs in attacking defenses and winning football games, it's incredibly refreshing.
So you think there was a lot under wraps then, kind of, in this third preseason game, certainly from what Whedon was trying to do and also the team?
Yeah, and I think he wanted to, again, maybe show the Dolphins certain things, and maybe because we are changing with some systems and with some people and personnel, and Josh Gordon was playing, won't be there, in the first two games. The guards were working in a couple different guards. I'm trying to kind of get that tempo of really what we're doing. Trent Richardson, that was only his second time playing. Kind of trying to get the feel for it, but trying to just get, I think, reps in without getting, again, injuries and getting things too detailed.
What would be, like you said, there's a lot of layers and different thoughts and so forth into what Norv is about. It's complex. You can't really sum it up in a sentence in terms of what he's going to mean to this team. But I'm looking for that one nugget. I want that one thing that you feel he brings, that quality that will define what Norv Turner's influence is on this offense, and if it's either just on Brandon Whedon or the offense in general. Just nail it. What is
well,
that?
I so believe in confidence. And Norv's confidence, his self-esteem in himself, and because he's been there and done that, you can't even question whether you think he's right or wrong. He just is right. He's backed it up. Backed it up. That's with right. Performance year in and year out in different teams over different kind of from the 80s to the 90s to late 90s to early 2000s, from not zone blitzing to predetermined coverages to disguising coverages to zone blitzing to different protections. His evolution and being a step kind of ahead of the game in terms of having proven results on the field, I mean, you can't question it over 25 years. So from a player perspective, you know he's done that. And then he's not lacking in confidence either. I mean, he believes in it. His attention to detail, his coaching points, his enthusiasm give you confidence that what he's doing is right. And if you do the coaching points, you're going to be successful. So from a player perspective, he has that unique way of he's a little aggressive. He is a little chippy as you see him out there, coaching people up. But he does it in a way that doesn't demean your confidence, reduce your confidence, crush your self-esteem. And he actually does it in a way that I find somewhat humorous. And he actually increases your confidence, and he has confidence. And I really believe we talked about this last week in when you have confidence, when you have self-esteem in yourself, you have a better chance, I think, to play good.
Yeah, I think that you did sum it up because you
this is great.
He's right because he just is right. That's the best thing. He's right because he is. Bernie Kosar is with us here.
How's that for like astute analysis? Right?
I love it.
Good.
It nailed
he just
it.
Is.
No, it
deal
yeah.
with it.
Yeah, and that should provide that level of hope, promise that we see here. Because, again, it's coming from you're not observing this from this summer, this year. This goes back to seeing it as a player, to hearing other players talk about it and other coaches talk about it, the fiber of a football team. And we feel the same thing in this building. And, like, you know, it sounds like a trite point, but it isn't. When he looks at you, Nathan, and says, you look too happy around here, he's talking about a football building culture, too, where football isn't supposed, as Marv Levy, the Hall of Fame coach, always told me, there's nothing comfortable about football. Never. And he was saying this on a four consecutive Super Bowl run year.
Sure. I just can't help smiling. I like it. I like being around Norv. He cracks me up, I think. And obviously, he's very good for this offense. I want to talk about this preseason game, Bernie. You'll be calling that, obviously, for the Browns. And you look at David Nelson. This is a receiver who stands out from the other receivers on the team because you have Gordon and Little. And then after that, you have Devon Bess. You have Travis Benjamin. You have Josh Cooper, all of whom are 5'10 or shorter. David Nelson at 6'5 gives an opportunity to have another big receiver on this roster. He's a guy who has all 8 of his touchdowns in the NFL in the red zone. What are you looking for from Nelson, who's going to make his first appearance Thursday night against the Bears?
I'm absolutely excited to watch him, to see him play. I want to see him be back with his athleticism and his health because, as you correctly point out, with his size and with his athletic ability, the opportunity to have a guy like that, and if Jordan Cameron stays healthy and David Nelson, what the system could do, what Norv and Chud could do within that system with guys like that could make me want to come out of retirement. It's the playmaking ability, the ability to get in the end zone with a healthy David Nelson, I think is phenomenally important to our team. And to have somebody like that and have that other layer of somebody defenses, you won't be able to match up with those two guys in most parts of the field, but for sure in the red zone, in the scoring area. So I think to see him, that probably is the single biggest key, I think, for us, at least offensively, is to have him come in, have his health, and get back into the flow of things, because that will create enormous amount of opportunities for our team.
What else is notable about the players who will play the regulars slash starters is that it's Josh Gordon and Travis Benjamin involved now. And we haven't seen Travis involved much in the offense this summer. I think it's a good thing to get his exposure, because he is the guy you're going to see out there for those first 2 weeks.
Right, and we saw his electricity, his big play ability, you know, running back to punts, the big plays he's had in special teams, again, even this preseason. In the passing game, you even see the element and the level of respect other defensive backs have when he's in the game. By far, that's the one guy that people, corners, play the farthest off, least likely to press him. Guys, corners are 10, 11, 12 yards sometimes, so may have the opportunity with somebody like Travis Benjamin to make a short play, to make a short throw, and him really make something happen. Because if he makes a guy miss with that speed, it could be a short little 5-yard hitch. And if he makes that corner miss, you know, he's capable of breaking a tackle and taking it to the house.
Are you surprised, Bernie, that we haven't seen Travis Benjamin with Brandon Weeden that much in the preseason, if at all, given that he's going to be a starting receiver in week number 1 and 2?
Well, it's a tough situation, and when you're only playing the limited amount that really starters have played in preseason, and you have to get Josh Gordon, you have to get him some reps, because and to sit out basically, you know, the first 2 weeks, which could be, you know, 20 some days of inactivity, and I hope someday the rules are somewhat altered with that, because, you know, if a guy has an issue, I could see not playing, I could see not having the game checks, but not being in the facility for that time, not being able to practice. If you really do have an issue, you know, being left to your own and not being part of the family of the football team.
That's the thing that's going to help you.
That could lead to worse things.
Yeah, and now you're going to come back and play, and you haven't really practiced. You haven't really practiced enough or at the level. You can't practice on your own and still get that level of competition and that level of working out that you do when you're with the team. So, again, that's something I know that's I'm off point on it.
It's a good point.
Something like that, you know, just for – and I'm not just Josh Gordon. There's quite a few people in the league right now that are having some
issues.
Games that their games are going to miss. And 2 games is one thing. When you start talking about 4 to 6 games, and you start talking about a month and a half – That's a tough spot to kind of leave your family and be alone. And I know people say, oh, well, they deserve it. They made that penalty. Well, not playing the games and losing the game checks, okay, that's enough of a penalty. But if the interest is to get guys better, to overcome some of these issues, I think it's better served being around your teammates and being around your organization, because typically nobody loves you more than the family that you develop within a football team.
Well, this has been a lot of fun, but we must take a break here. Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, Bernie Kosar. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, continues still to come on the show. Brad Biggs to talk about the Browns' opponent on Thursday night, the Chicago Bears, and much, much more. It's CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.
See you in Chicago, brother.
Sounds good.
Looking forward to the call. Bernie, Jim Donovan, Thursday night, the Browns, the Bears. We'll be back.
All ends with beginning.